The views, information, and opinions expressed are those of the featured guests and not those of IG Wealth Management.
I'm Manjeet Minhas, one of Canada's top entrepreneurs, and so excited for you to join us today. Through a wealth of women's stories, IG is carving out a space where women's voices are heard. If you're looking for insight and inspiration through powerful storytelling that will resonate with anyone looking for the answers to the questions that we as women ask ourselves, then this series is for you.
Today we're speaking with Vanessa Bowen, founder of Mintworthy, who is on a mission to help more women live in their financial worth. As a chartered professional accountant, Vanessa spent almost a decade in the accounting industry, helping corporations in North America make sense of their numbers. She made the leap from corporate number crunching to personal finance for two reasons. One, she wasn't built for a career of cubicles and calculators. And two, she knows firsthand how financial independence can change a woman's life. Vanessa wanted to improve the complicated relationship that women can have with money and become a master neuro-linguistic programming practitioner using a holistic approach to financial counseling. She helps target the root beliefs that often block women from reaching their financial goals to empower them to live life on their own financial terms. Vanessa's relatable and energetic approach to financial literacy and education is like no other. She has been featured as a money expert in media publications such as CBC, Global News, Toronto Star, Breakfast Television, and Rogers TV, held spokesperson partnerships, and delivered messages for various companies and universities. Welcome to the podcast, Vanessa.
Thanks for having me, Manjeet. I'm excited to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here today, and I'm really looking forward to having a very different conversation about wealth that is not really typical. You have such a unique story, one that is unlike most accounting professionals. So why don't we start at the beginning? You refer to yourself as a holistic money coach, based on the discoveries you've had during your own journey with money. So tell us maybe a bit about that journey and how it began, and how as a CPA, what led you to start Mintworthy?
Yeah, so it's funny. My journey with money started like most people. You know, money wasn't really a topic of discussion in our home growing up. I was raised by a single mother. So my money story was ingrained within me from how I saw her manage her money. So fast forward, I land my dream job fresh out of university. I start my career as a CPA. And the reality is that I thought I had made it. And I spent my money like I had made it. And so within a year or so, you know, I was deep into debt. I was renting a condo I could barely afford. I had no idea how to manage my money. I had zero financial goals. I was spending just to spend. And I didn't have the financial knowledge because no one taught me.
Right.
So that's how my journey with money started. But I was fortunate to have a mentor who took me under her wings. And that's how I got introduced to this whole world of personal finance. And I remember, you know, she asked me, do you have a budget? I was like, oh, a what? The B word is not in my vocabulary. I was so against it. I really felt that it was going to restrict me.
Right.
But what I realized was that it was the key to my financial freedom. It was the exact opposite of what I thought. And so that is how I really got into shifting my own financial life. So I made the whole change. I moved out of the condo. I moved into a basement apartment. I did all the things to change my financial life and realized in that journey that the women in my circle were just as confused as I had been. They didn't know how to manage their own money. And so really this started as a passion project of me helping them, sharing what I learned until I realized this is what I felt called to do. And so I left my corporate job and that's how Mintworthy started.
It's interesting, a couple things. One, even, you know, everybody thinks that just because you have a job, maybe in the financial services industry or something to do with money, even as, you know, at a bank or, even a simple thing within an organization, even if you run accounts payable or receivable or payroll, people think that all of a sudden that instantly makes you know everything about your own personal money and about money in general. But that is far, far from the case. And so It's interesting that you say the word budget, you were like, no. And I think a lot of professionals think that exact thing. But listen, I made it, as in I've got an education, I'm a smart person, I've got a good job, I've got this title, I've got, you know, I've got what it takes, I'm told by the rest of the world that I've made it. So I shouldn't have to worry about money and I shouldn't have to budget. But that is definitely not the case.
I 100% agree. It's so funny. You're absolutely right. We think those things, but when reality, our career or whatever we're doing, we learned what we had to learn to get there. Right. And most of the time, no one taught us about money. So how can we think the one thing that impacts every aspect of our life, we don't need to learn about it?
Very, very true. And I think that no matter what you do, everybody thinks that if you're university educated and or have any, you know, post-secondary education, suddenly it's easy. And the interesting part is, which is unfortunate, and I think that's changing now because I see that with my two girls, especially my oldest 12-year-old, who in school, they're starting to talk about money. They're starting to use that term financial literacy to make sure that, you know, people understand when they grow up and even at a young age that what money means and what spending and what is different types of accounts and budgeting and the whole idea of having a financial plan. And I think that unfortunately, so many people still think to this day, especially women, that a financial plan is for rich people.
Yes.
It's not for me. Yes. And whatever me is, and whatever your financial situation is, it is something that I feel that especially a lot of racialized communities don't talk about. I definitely agree with you that even in my household, it was not talked about. Definitely, it was something I wrote checks. I learned how to do some really interesting things thanks to, you know, my dad allowing me to at such a young age. But I can't say I understood the full picture until I became an adult and had to like manage my own bank account and my own business. But it was something that just was not really talked about, which is definitely unfortunate. And I definitely still see that in a lot of racialized communities that don't really want to address the situation, which is unfortunate sometimes.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
And so talk to me about what did you hope to achieve in making that leap to being an entrepreneur and having an entrepreneurial venture? And how did you feel leaving a stable corporate job behind?
Well, I definitely was scared, absolutely terrified. And I didn't build the business or have it established before I left. I just left the corporate job and said, I will figure this out.
Gotcha.
So it was definitely scary, especially, you know, you come from this stable six-figure income and you're literally questioning, how am I going to pay the bills now? But it was a journey that I would say, and I say this a lot, you know, entrepreneurship in general is the biggest self-development course that you can take in your life. And so it's definitely been a journey where I've learned so much more about myself than I Right. thought I would in doing this venture. I thought I was doing it so that, you know, going back to your question of what did I hope to achieve, I was really just hoping that I would be able to wake up every day and do something that I loved. Because I wasn't feeling as fulfilled in my career. This is what my heart was calling me towards. And so it was really just, I want to do something more passionate that I'm more passionate about in my life. But it's really become more about my own self-inner journey as well throughout this.
Gotcha. So that's really unique because most people, they take the leap when their side hustle and their business is at a point where it kind of seems to make sense and they need the extra hours and they're making that transition in a time where they've usually got most of the numbers figured out to say, okay, it's a kind of a lateral move or in that I can, you know, I can toughen it out for a year or so. But you, on the other hand, didn't have that going on. So you had a lot of faith in yourself to become CEO, CFO, chief marketing officer, secretary, you know, like everything in the company. But I think in some cases, and each individual is different, of course, sometimes that actually is the fuel to your fire is when you're starting and you have nothing and it's all on the line. Like you were the definition of all in.
Yes, 100%. And I think when I did that leap, I didn't realize how many hats I'd have to wear. You know, it's like, I just have to create the programs and the offers, but forgetting all the other aspects of running the business. So yes, definitely all in from the beginning. And it that's how it's been. Just swim, figure it out. And you just keep moving from there.
You went from CPA to holistic money coach. I love that term. And so, you know, Mintworthy is obviously very different from a traditional FA and the way it provides clients advice. And so where you help target the root beliefs that often block women from reaching their financial goals is a very different approach. And so when you started Mintworthy, what was the mission?
Very, very great question. It's not what it is today. So initially, Mintworthy started really as me wanting to create this personal finance coaching platform. And really, it was about teaching my clients, who were all women, the basics of personal finance. So the things we didn't get taught when we grew up. So how to create a budget, how to create a savings plan, what savings accounts do I need? What's a TFSA? What's an RRSP? So that was the initial vision, was really just creating this coaching platform that taught women how to manage their money at the very basics. How it has evolved, that's a whole different story.
Gotcha. And you know what? It's interesting that you say that it's not what it started as today. And, you know, somebody asked me on a panel I was on a couple of weeks ago as to, well, how do you think and how do you define a business to be successful? And there's a lot of course, metrics that we all traditionally use. But my answer is that your business today doesn't look like it did when it started. That means that you've evolved, you've taken feedback, you've listened to the marketplace to know that, listen, I was on a mission, and then I've looked and seen what else is available and what is my value proposition? Where do I fit in this marketplace or in this industry? And so I think that that is a testament to actually your success, that it doesn't look like it did when it started.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right of like, where do I fit in? I think that's what has created the evolution of Mintworthy, because when I first started it, I did a lot of internal reflection on my own money journey. And I, you know, remember being in my career and I was progressing, but always feeling like when I hit the next promotion or I get the next pay raise, then my financial life will feel secure. Then I can stop worrying about money. But as my income grew, I just really felt more insecurities about money. So as I was building Mintworthy, I was reflecting on my own money journey and realizing, well, why did I feel that way? Why was it that I'd have the pay increase but still have the insecurities? So right. That's what started this journey of me uncovering my own relationship with money. And then as I was supporting my clients, I was really looking at their money stories and seeing the parallel between their stories and my stories. And so that's how this whole mindset piece of Mintworthy really became a fundamental part of the coaching that I do today, because I realized we all have a story. We all have many money stories. And for a lot of my clients, they would create these great results and get these great results and then revert back. And it was always this cycle. And that's when I realized, well, we have to go inside and shift the mindset first, how we relate to money, and then we can build from there. So that's how Mintworthy evolved. But yes, it was start the business, and then to your point, like, see what really is resonating with me, but also what's impacting my clients, and bring that back into the business.
Gotcha. And so, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because it reminds me of the first financial advisor that I had. And while we were talking, I still always remember what she said to me. And she said, when you create a plan for your money, you're giving your money a purpose. And I think that it's often thinking about money, especially for women, as a way for it to work for you, not the other way around. Yes. And to have a plan around it, and that it's not a taboo subject, in that we can manage it, meaning that we can have a plan and it can change as our needs and wants change. So can the plan change. And so I really do think that it's interesting how even your personal journey with money has actually evolved and had a real pivoting point, and it's affected how you actually run your business and how you address your clients' needs. So what was the inspiration or driving force behind the vision of having that as kind of the differentiator in how you approach your advice?
Yeah, the driving force was definitely, as I said before, looking at my story and then also looking at my clients and how we would create these plans for them and they would do amazing, but then they would revert back to old habits. And so it was very interesting. The first year of the business, everything for me just kept turning to mindset. And I just kept seeing all these different things and learning these different things about how our mind creates our results. And so I was really just almost like puzzle piecing things together as I was reflecting on my journey, reflecting on my client's journey. But it really came down to, what did I want Mintworthy to do? And I didn't want Mintworthy to just be another personal finance coaching platform. I really wanted to create lasting financial change for my clients. I didn't want to just put a Band-Aid on it and say, here's your budget, here's your savings and investment plan, go run with it. I wanted to make sure we got to the root of what created the financial life that they're living in today. So it really came down to, what did I want Mintworthy to stand for? And really me wanting to see how I can create that lasting change. So even inside the programs today, mindset's first. Like, my clients know we don't talk about your budget. We don't talk about your savings plan or your TFSA RSP until we shift your mindset first.
Gotcha. And so you've definitely discovered there's more to money than just the numbers. And you became intrigued, as you described, with that. So I would say maybe even a little bit obsessed with that. And so your thoughts and your mindset impact about how money habits and behaviors evolve were really definitely the focus. And then you went on to become a certified practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, or an NLP. So tell us more about what an NLP is actually and how that happened.
Yeah. So how I explain NLP in its simplest form is the study of how our minds are programmed and essentially how our thoughts create our results and what we're experiencing in life. Or said another way, how your internal world is a reflection of your external world. And so when I went into this journey of NLP, and that's even a crazy story because I had heard about it, I had experienced it through this fluke session with someone. And I was literally in a coffee date with someone, and we were talking about how do we collaborate. And at the end of the meeting, she mentioned that a friend was offering NLP certifications. And that's how I jumped into it and got into this whole world of NLP. But why I did it was because, going back to what I said before, I really wanted to change my clients' mindsets, their relationship with money. But I knew that I had to be equipped with the tools and the knowledge to do that. So that's why I decided to become certified in NLP, so that I could actually have the resources, have the tools to create change in my clients at the subconscious level, so they can shift how they then see money, how they relate to money. Because how someone thinks will tell you how they act. You know, and it's been in its simplest form, if someone just believes that they won't get out of debt,
right,
they're going to feel very hopeless. They're not going to feel very financially empowered. They're not going to believe that they'll have a great financial future. So how does that person act? They likely don't have a debt repayment plan. They are already in debt. So they say, well, I might as well swipe the credit card. I'm in debt anyway. So they create actions that perpetuate and align with the thought, versus someone who has this thought of, I can get out of debt. They are more financially empowered, and then they create different results. They actually have a debt repayment plan. They don't spend above their means. So everything is started from our thoughts, which create our results. And that's basically how I've taken NLP and bought it into the coaching.
Gotcha. So it's a lot of what we talk about in our regular lives, as far as even our skills or talents, you know, success in other parts in our life. You know, we talk about mindset, and I definitely am a true believer and talk about it all the time, especially, you know, with my mentors and mentees alike, about, you know, what you think you become, what you feel you attract, what you imagine you create. And it's about mindset in so many different ways. It's about, you know, like you say, that positive or negative mindset. Are you thinking in negative ways? And then you start to act and make those decisions in that particular way. And I don't think I've ever honestly heard about money being talked about or approached in that way. And so that is definitely very, very unique. I would say, I think I would ask as to how do your clients actually react to that? Because I know when I was on your website researching before we were talking here today, you had a really interesting, I guess, a survey, a questionnaire that you have your clients do. And I will definitely say I usually go through surveys pretty quickly because I can predict the answers. But all of the answers sometimes I wasn't thinking of were there. And it was, I had to read the questions and the answers multiple times over before I went through it. And even I was thinking about how and when I think about money, because your questions were not direct. They were not predictable, which I think is very unique, but also surprising because I didn't really even think as I was taking your questionnaire, are we still talking about money? I had to remind myself.
It's so true because how we relate to money is truly a reflection of how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to life. So you're absolutely right. It's all mindset, but it still is related to our financial life.
Why did you decide to focus on primarily empowering women?
Yes, great question. I get this a lot, and maybe it's selfish, I do not know, but I chose to do that because I had been there. Because of my own money story, I knew what it was like to spend over my means, to go into debt, to struggle to pay my rent. And I wanted to be the voice for other women who had been there, because when I was going through it, I felt like I was the only one. I didn't know of anyone else because we weren't really talking about this. And so when I started Mintworthy, it was a requirement for me to just focus on women because I wanted to be the person that they saw in themselves and to know and to literally be able to talk to someone who's been on the other side. And I know as women, we have a different relationship with money. We have different stories about money. And it was all tied to, yep, I've been there. So let's do this together.
And so do you think now that you've, you know, been in the business for a while and seen all sides of it, I'm sure. I'm sure you focus on women primarily, but I'm sure you have men as clients and also, of course, come across many men. Would you say that men and women and their mindset towards money is different? And if so, how is it different?
Yes, it's definitely different. Now, I will say that men and women share very similar traits when we get down to the limiting beliefs. A lot of it, even for men, is rooted in their sense of worth. But when we look at just the images that women see versus what men see, it's definitely night and day. You know, we have unfortunately grown up into this society where we've got this image ingrained in us where men are that dominant money figure. You know, at one point in our society, men were the only ones that worked. And still in our society today, women feel that they have to choose between career or raising family. Mm-hmm. And so we have, you know, still women staying at home, relying on their male partner. So we're just creating these images that create different money stories for men and women. I even have had clients say to me, well, my parents told me I have to marry rich because I have expensive tastes and no one else is going to support me. Or I've had my clients say, you know, we grew up in a household where our mom did stay home and our dad gave our mom an allowance. And so this particular client now struggles with believing that she can be financially secure on her own. So I think it's a mix of our societal images, the images we've experienced inside of our homes, which have created these very different pictures and relationship and mindset around money for men and women.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I read that one of your discovery questions that you ask clients is, what is the first thing you think about when you think of Wall Street in New York or Bay Street in Toronto? And 99% of them said men or men in suits. And so it's really unfortunate that today that still is the answer. Because if I would have read that, I would have said that was something that was asked 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. That is something that is still being answered today. And I think that has a lot to do, definitely with the biases that we have, but also with the experiences of women that many of us still encounter. And it's definitely unfortunate, but this dominant masculine image resonating with wealth and money that we still seem to have as women, for sure, there's some stereotype in there, but definitely based on your research, is still surprising, but is fact. And so how do you feel that we can change that relationship and the thought process that we have when it comes to men and women and money?
Yes, great question. I think for sure we're seeing the shift. It may not have caught up in our subconscious mind yet, but I think we're seeing it. And I think the more women take, I'll say, lead or control within their financial life, whether they're in a partnership or not, but I think the more women come to the table and say, okay, I know how to manage my money, or I can manage my money. I had one client, for instance, she is married, but the whole reason why she joined the coaching program was because she wanted to feel confident talking to her husband about money. And at that time, her husband was taking care of everything inside the family's household. She believed that he knew what he was doing, but the reality was he also wasn't taught about money growing up.
Right.
So she went through the program and learned all that she learned and then taught him. So I think we're going to see this shift. The more women say, you know what, I want to, one, learn this for me, but I also want to learn this so I can change my family's finances, so I can change and teach my kids how to do better with their money. And I think the more we as women stand up into that role, I think the image will start to change in our society.
That's a good point. I think we don't necessarily always think about that as women, that men often have the opposite as far as expectations. And often they've gone through the same education system as us or had the same experiences that they too haven't been taught, in that one day they're supposed to wake up and all of a sudden be able to, you know all the answers and know all what a budget and savings and what a plan looks like or is, but often they also don't know and are flying by the seat of their pants. It's interesting because there's this famous Indian saying that my grandmother always used to say, and I think it relates to so many different things, and including money as we're talking, it's reminding me. And it goes that you don't just wake up and become the butterfly. Growth is a process. And it's a process for everybody, whether you're man, woman, rich, poor, whether you're educated or not, and you know what your background, your experiences is, it really doesn't matter. That we all have to be taught one way or another. Either we're thrown to the wolves and taught that way, or somebody takes us under their wing, or we ourselves take the bull by the horns and teach ourselves. So I think that's really interesting in that even amongst in her own family situation. And I'm sure that she was one of the brave ones, in that a lot of women probably think that, but don't know where to start and are so intimidated by that conversation. And really just also succumbing to the fact and just saying, I don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. She is definitely one of the brave ones. And I do feel and believe that if we keep doing this as women, especially even just, you know, us having this conversation today and having this platform to empower women in their finances, I think we will see more women stand up and be more courageous and bold and brave and say, you know what, I don't know. And even if I'm just learning this for me, I'm ready to learn it just for me.
Right. Yeah. And I think that no matter who you are, it's interesting. I too, very recently hadn't really heard, well, based on, I guess, you know, our economic situation of the country, I hadn't heard the term stagflation before. And I, a couple of months ago, started reading about it in the papers, and I had to actually take a moment. And I said to my husband, I actually don't know what that means. I need to take a beat and go and actually look it up and teach myself. And I thought to myself, like, I find myself to be somebody who's pretty financially literate, but there's always something else that you can teach yourself, and that you have to be in the mindset of learning all the time, because things are changing personally, but also around you all the time, to understand how it affects you and or what are the opportunities and benefits for you or not.
Yeah, 100%. We need to be constant learners.
And I think that for anybody dealing with money, often you think that once I know it and I have a plan, I'm good. Or like you say, you know, I have a six-figure salary coming in. I can, you know, pay the mortgage and I can make expenses and I can have all the wants. But that's not always the case, because it doesn't always go as far as you think.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with that.
And so, let's talk maybe a bit about the pandemic. So you've been coaching now women for a couple of years, and there were some interesting shifts and trends throughout the last couple of years, especially with the pandemic, in terms of how people manage their money. So how did you see people change the way that they were looking at their finances during that pandemic, and maybe now as we're starting to get out of it compared to pre-pandemic days?
There was definitely a huge financial shift of awareness, I would say, when the pandemic first hit. You know, finances were always the thing that people put on the back burner, or, you know, said, I'll get to this one day. But I think there was this huge, almost mindset shift, I'd say, of people really realizing the importance of having a pulse on their finances. So especially for like those beginning few months of the pandemic, we saw a lot of people start shifting their spending habits. Like, number one, it was, okay, what am I really spending my money on? What do I need to be spending my money on? So it was that shift of awareness there. And also, I think this heightened awareness of the importance of an emergency fund. I know it's something we don't like to talk about, and we're like, do I really need this? An emergency is not going to hit. But for definitely a lot of my clients, they were so grateful that they had built that, because without it, it would have been a lot tougher. So I definitely would say the pandemic created way more financial awareness, which I was grateful for, because it's like, now the message makes sense for everyone. But now that we've started to get out of it, it's going to be very interesting. And I really want to see how this will shift, whether we'll have the sustained change of people still seeing the importance of managing their money, managing their spending, creating their savings, whatever that looks like, or will we see things flip back to how it used to be? So that, I think, is a question I'm still wanting to see, is what will be the aftermath in our financial world after this?
Interesting. And so do you think that it changed, like the emergency fund, for example, was that personally for individuals or for businesses or for both?
Great question. So if I just talk from the perspective of my clients, I would say it was both. Mm-hmm. Definitely on the personal side of, you know, having that emergency fund, and some of my clients having to use it for a couple of months. But also on the business side, for my clients who are entrepreneurs, they luckily, some of them had I call it a contingency fund on that side. They had a contingency fund to really help them in those times. Whereas I know one or two clients who didn't, who had to, you know, kind of go into a little bit of debt to really manage the pandemic during that time.
Interesting. Yeah, it definitely, I think, was a wake-up call for everybody, no matter who you were, because everybody was dealing with challenges and some that you never would have considered before, because a lot of it just kind of continues, and many individuals too, you kind of continue on a hamster wheel, and it's really often hard to find the time to take a beat, to look at a variety of different things, including the decisions that you've made. And so how much time do you think, one should dedicate to their money, but also shifting even their mindset towards what their money journey looks like?
Yeah. So for the mindset, I always say this, working your mindset must be a lifestyle. Hmm. Just like we work on our health or our relationships, our mindset is fundamental in how we live our life, how we experience life, the joy or not so joy that we have in life, the results we achieve. I 100% think that every day you need to be spending some time on your mindset. So there's not a day that goes by that I'm not doing something in the morning to strengthen my mindset, because our subconscious, how it works, how it's rooted in a lot of habits. And it's, you know, scientifically proven a lot of the thoughts that go through our mind are the same thoughts over and over and over again, and most of them are negative. So if you want to change your relationship with money, feel more confident in your finances, change the habits and actions you're taking, mindset has to be literally that number one priority that you work on every day. And then to answer your other question about, you know, how much time do we spend on money? With our money, I like to always say, have a money date. You know, just like any relationship that you're in, you date your partner. You don't just, you know, get married or start this partnership and say, okay, see you 20 years from now. No, you are spending time with that person. You're getting to know them. You are dating them throughout the journey. So are you dating your money? Are you spending time to look at your financial goals, to see where your money's going, to maybe adjust and pivot? Or are you waiting to after the fact when it's kind of too late to mend that relationship? So yes, always look at your money, have that relationship, and definitely make mindset a lifestyle.
Gotcha. So you're really just saying is that results happen over time, right? Yes. It's not overnight. It takes some hard work. It takes some consistency, and it takes some patience.
Yes.
Just like a lot of other things in our life, for sure. Because I think so many people think that, listen, if I'm disciplined for 12 months, I'll turn it around. But nothing is like that, even whether it be our, like you say, our mental health, our physical health, our business. It's not something that you can just go in and out of. It's something that needs to be consistent and purposeful.
Absolutely. And if we think about it, the reality is that money impacts every aspect of our life.
Right.
Everything, where we live, where our kids go to school, the types of vacations we take. And it's not like, to your point, you go hard for 12 months and then you don't need money anymore for the rest of your life. You always need money. And so you have to be constantly working on either your relationship with money or how you manage your money.
Yeah, interesting. And I think that the younger that we can learn that or even teach those around us, the better we are. I definitely have had numerous conversations, I feel, especially over the last 2 years as my girls have been home and me too, a lot more, talking about things like that, that they come up. Because I found my own kids saying a lot like, oh, that's okay. We have lots of money, or who cares what that costs? And I'll be like, whoa, listen, I have money, you have nothing. So let's talk about what that costs and how that money is made to pay for that. And is it a want or a need? And some things can be impulsive. I think online shopping is definitely not, is contributing and not helping with a lot of the impulsiveness about, you know, wants versus needs. But I think it is one of those things that as long as we recognize it, it's okay. But it is a conversation that is something that I think is important to have and have a debate about it too. I don't think that there's a right answer always, but there is definitely a conversation to always be had as to the approach that one has towards money. I remember a long time ago, you know, when I started to make it, I felt to say that I kept saying to my husband is that I'm not obsessed with money. I'm obsessed with my freedom. And that meant that I needed my money to work for me.
Yeah.
In that, you know, I don't need to retire, because I hate that word, anytime soon, but I want to make sure that I'm free to do what I want every single day. And I have to do that by addressing managing my money.
Absolutely. I love that. So true. It's the freedom. That's really what we all want.
Right. And I think that as soon as we can realize that and also define to us deep down as to what that freedom is for everybody, it's different. Is that, and what's the plan to get there is sometimes hard for us to answer on our own. And so what tools would you suggest that people and women in maybe particular find in order to help them with their journey with money? Are there specific apps or books? Do you like pen to paper? Like, what do you find is something and the tools that we can use to help us?
Yeah, I'm definitely a spreadsheet girl. So pen to paper. Yep. So I'm all about having that financial plan in the spreadsheet. So whether it's your budget plan, your debt repayment plan, your savings plan, all about that spreadsheet life, 100%. So in terms of the tools, I think, you know, we talked about the importance of a plan. It's have a plan and whatever way works for you. If you are pen to paper, it's all good, but have some sort of plan where you are tracking your money. What's coming in, what's going out, that you actually are allocating money every month towards those savings goals, towards paying down your debts, creating that balance. Sometimes we think, you know, I can only do one thing at a time. Well, you can do both. You just have to create the right balance. So number one is have the plan. And going back to the mindset piece, it's really just starting to work on your mindset. You know, the simple questions of how is my mother with money? How is my father with money? What money traits from my parents have I inherited? Those three questions alone, you could take a month to answer and it will uncover a lot of your personal money habits and decisions, and it will open up how you relate to money. So starting there as well, it's just an easy, quick tool for you to begin to start shifting your money mindset and your relationship with money.
Oh, interesting. And so do you feel that it's something that we should talk to? Like you mentioned, parents, for example, and family, but parents in particular. How hard is that for women to talk about with their parents? And do you think that, is there any age or a specific age or time in somebody's life that they should be talking to their parents about their approach with money?
It's definitely a hard topic to speak with your parents about. I would definitely say if your parents are open, by all means, go ahead. But it can also create shifts and tension because sometimes, you know, our parents may think that we're judging them or we're, you know, questioning their decisions. And the reality is this isn't a blame game. They did the best that they could. The purpose of this really is just to see what you've inherited, because most of the money stories that we walk around with in our subconscious mind are inherited stories. When we were born, we were a clean slate. We did not know about money. We had no perceptions or judgments. As we grew older, that's when we learned what money was or what it meant to have money. And especially between the ages of 0 to 8, our mind was still in its subconscious state. So everything it experienced around money, it took as truth. So if we heard our parents say, I can't afford this, if we saw them maybe argue about money, our little subconscious mind said, money equals fights. Money breaks up marriages. It didn't have the capacity, the reasoning to consciously interpret what it saw. So most of the time, our money stories are not our own. It's what we interpreted as a child, and we're still living around as 7-year-olds in our adult bodies, but we have 7-year-old perceptions about money. So sometimes it's not even about talking to your parents. It's really just about you doing the internal work and reflection to ask yourself, what story is ingrained in me and what story do I now want to live out of? And that is where we create shifts and change in your money mindset and then how you relate to money and what you do with your money.
That is fascinating. I have definitely read and heard and supported a lot of early childhood development causes, but I've never heard of it. Money talked about that way, that how we structure the stories, learnings, and our association with the feelings that we have about money. Because you're right, we all have feelings towards it. We just don't sometimes know because we're never asked or it's never, you know, paid attention to as to where and how those developed. And if they're negative, how do we change that? And then even as parents or adults, how do we affect those around us, especially children between 0 and 8, and their stories and perceptions around money? Because I think that too is something that once we figure out, we're on the journey to figure out that it's our duty to talk to those around us, and especially children.
100%, because really what's happening is we're just walking, I call it the domino effect. We're walking around with the understanding of money from our parents. They're holding on to the understanding of money from their parents. And it's just been dominoes that have just been toppled over. And think about our great grandparents. If they grew up in the time of the Depression or the famine, whatever, that's their understanding of money that is still ingrained in us in some way. So if you walk around with this scarcity mindset, and I talked about this earlier, you know, I was making the money in my career and still felt insecurity. I still felt scarcity. Why? I had the money, but I was living out of the old money stories that have been just passed down to me. So I totally agree with this domino effect. We have to be the ones to stand the domino back up so that these stories don't continue to perpetuate to the next generation and the next generation.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's about starting right where you are. Yes. You can't rewind time.
I agree.
You can definitely become aware of your thoughts, your feelings, and your level of education towards money and your literacy towards it, but you have to start where you are. And I think for many of us, sometimes that can be hard to admit that there are issues and or it's not going as we would have hoped.
It definitely is hard for us to admit that, especially as women. I'm so guilty of that as well. But that is where the change happens. When we can literally say, okay, this is my truth, my actual truth. How do I want to shift that? That is when we create real change, whether it's in our financial life or our life in general.
Fascinating, fascinating for sure. Well, you've definitely been a pleasure to speak to. I think it's incredible that you've found this passion that intersects brain science and finance to empower women to go after their financial dreams. So what's next for you, Vanessa? And I guess what's next for Mintworthy?
Really, it's just to continue to grow and serve more women by literally expanding our coaching programs and really just getting this new perspective or shift of perspective on money out more. And I think, you know, for me, the vision really is to see talking about our money mindset or talking about our relationship with money, see that become one of the core topics within our personal finance world. I think the more we have these conversations and we increase our awareness of the fact that we all have a money story, that we all have a money mindset, I think that's when we can create the real shift in our society and really change our financial world, really create that true, true financial freedom.
I couldn't agree more. So any final words of wisdom to our listeners on money?
I think the last point I would just say, I know I said it, but mindset, you must make it a lifestyle. And whatever stories you're holding around money right now, you have the power to change. And I love what you said earlier, Manjeet, of we get to start where we are. And we get to be the ones to make the change for our next generation. So definitely that messaging. And I always say it, we are all worthy. We are all worthy of wealth. We are worthy of abundance. That includes you. That includes me. That includes everyone. And we just have to believe that and hold true to that.
Very, very, very true. I always say this in my keynotes, one way or another, is that we all have to invest in ourselves because it pays the best dividends and the best interest. And that can mean a lot of different things. And one part of that is definitely educating ourselves towards money, because like you say, everybody needs it. It's what makes the world go round, and whether we want to acknowledge it or not. So why not acknowledge it and learn about it? Thank you so much, Vanessa, for joining us today. And thanks for everyone listening for tuning in. I encourage you to find the wealth in your own stories. And always remember, there's more to money than just the numbers. We look forward to having you back for our next episode presented by IG Wealth Management. You can learn more by visiting ig.ca/women and can also find that link in the description of this episode. Cheers, and we'll talk next time.
This has been a Wealth of Women Stories, hosted by Manjeet Minhas and presented by IG Wealth Management. The views, information, and opinions expressed are those of the featured guests and not those of IG Wealth Management.